Agree to join the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in faith. When we become Christians, we do not automatically and immediately become giants of faith or giants in our faith. And we see in the Bible how this process of growing in faith is very common. And there are struggles in faith that is very natural for the believer. We see this in various gospel accounts, where even for the disciples, the Lord had to help them and teach them to grow in their faith. They already had faith. Yet, on various occasions, we see that they had little faith. You will also recall in the Gospel of Mark how the father of a son who was demon-possessed, also he cried to the Lord in pleading for the Lord to deliver his son from that demon possession. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And this is a kind of a paradox where you already have faith, yet there is still a struggle of faith, and that you still struggle with some kind of doubt or some kind of fear or some kind of unbelief. And what these things show us is that we need to grow in faith. At the point of our salvation, we already have faith because we exercise saving faith. And that is the faith where we place our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is where the atonement is applied to our hearts. We already are saved. We are the children of God. But even then, we know that our faith is not immediately fully matured. It is not perfect, and it still will go through struggles. You may be a Christian for 10 years, 40 years, 80 years, and there may be occasions where you still question or wonder or struggle or doubt. And how then do we overcome these struggles of faith? How do we grow in faith? And this is what we want to look at and what we want to consider this afternoon as we look at this passage. Because this is where we see Moses growing in faith. Now remember that he was not a young man. It was not the first time he heard about his God. This is already Moses, who would be 80 over years old, because he spent 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the wilderness of Midian. So he was already an old man. But we remember how he brought various excuses before the Lord, and then the Lord addressed and took away these excuses. And then we saw also how the Lord gave him this provision of Aaron to help him to go through this first few stages of interacting with Pharaoh. And this is where the Lord will help Moses to strengthen him in his faith, because this is not the end of his work, at the end of his ministry. You know, we must not think that when Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was the end of that ministry. We know, according to the Bible and what we see, is that in fact that would be just the beginning of another phase of ministry, because he had to take care, right, of the people of God, of the children of Israel, and he has to take care of them even through the 40 years of wilderness wandering. So this would just be almost like the beginning of another phase of his ministry. And the Lord is going to strengthen him, to prepare him, to bear that calling, to bear that responsibility. And what is very interesting is that through these various plagues, you will see how Moses' faith will grow. Now, there are various ways you can actually approach a passage like this. In fact, for various narrative accounts, there are often different ways you can approach the passage. The Bible has one meaning, but many applications. Because the Bible has many applications, you know, you can actually preach many different sermons out of it. And that is where the Bible is very rich. Okay? There are many things that you can learn from even just one passage of the Bible. I remember Reverend Timothy told, using the illustration of how it is like when you are driving. The picture, the illustration used was he was driving to Malaysia, and then you see a hill. And from one direction, this hill, I believe the hill he was referring to is in Kelapa Sawit or something like that. You know, and then the hill may look like a certain image. And then when you drive from another direction, the hill will look different. But it's the same hill. And a sermon is like that. Right? In a narrative account, it has one meaning. But there are many different applications, and you can approach the sermon in different ways. So over here, you can choose to focus on the different characters. You can preach a sermon about Pharaoh and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. You can also preach about the plagues themselves, right? Where you talk about the developing of these plagues, the unfolding of these plagues. Some will observe how they're is an increasing of intensity, or some will also observe how the different plagues will involve the different elements. There are things that will concern the sea, the river, for example, and then the land, and then the sky, and then even the human body itself, and of course the animals, the fishes, the reptiles, the creatures, and the insects. Right, the different elements that are involved in this, and you can see the developing of God's judgment through the unfolding of this plagues. So there are different ways to approach this. You can also talk about the magicians, right? How they try to replicate the plagues. And initially they seem successful, but later on they failed. But how we are going to approach it this afternoon is we are going to focus on Moses and Aaron, and how they grew in their faith. And that's where you can see the conversation, right, that Moses had with Pharaoh. And at the same time, you also see the communication, the revelation that God gave to Moses, right, where you see through these interactions, God with Moses and Moses with Pharaoh, and how Moses also executed what God commanded. You see the change. You see the development. You see the growth. And that is why I've entitled this, Growing in Faith. Where through this process, the Lord will help Moses to grow in faith. Now, there are a few things that we need to keep in mind when we study this whole account concerning the plagues. Right? Oftentimes when we read a passage like this, okay, it may seem like it happens in one day, okay, or just but one moment. Okay, but we need to remember that the Bible does not tell us exactly how long some of these plagues took, or how long some of these plagues came upon the people of Egypt. Okay, there are certain clues that the Bible gives to us. For example, in verse 20, the Bible said, "The Lord said unto Moses, rise up in early in the morning." Right? So we would know that the swarm of flies would be the new morning, the next day. But prior to that, we cannot just assume that the plague of frogs or the plague of lice will just unfold in only one day. Okay, so we do not know the extent, how long some of these plagues came upon the people. You know, sometimes when we read it like that, it may seem like just a moment. And then we lose that intensity of the plagues that are described here. There was a process. There was a time. A certain amount of time would have passed by as each of these plagues unfolded. And that's one thing to remember. Now, another very important thing to remember, which actually the last part, the second part of chapter 8 will highlight for us, is where the Bible tells us that there will be a division between the people of God's people and the people of Egypt, right? In Exodus chapter 8, verse 23, and you notice how the Bible says, "I will put a division." Verse 22 says, "I will sever in the day the land of Goshen." So the Bible will tell us that God will make a distinction, okay, between the land of Egypt as a whole and Goshen, which will be isolated, and that's because the Lord will care for His people. But also take note that prior to that, even though this was not explicitly mentioned, I believe that the plagues only came upon the Egyptians. Now, why I believe that is because in chapter 7, remember earlier on, concerning the plague of the water being turned into blood. Even though the Bible did not say that there was a division between the land of Goshen and the rest of Egypt, the Bible says that it was the Egyptian. Right? Only the Egyptians. The Egyptians were the ones who could not drink of the water. You see in verse 21 of chapter 7. Okay? The Egyptians were the one who could not drink, and then the Egyptians were the one who had to dig around the river. In verse 24. Okay? All the Egyptians dig round about the river of water to drink. Okay? So, whereas some may think that only after the swarm of flies, then there is a division. I believe based on the description that we see earlier on in chapter 7, even the swarm or the plague of frogs and the plague of lice will only be for the Egyptians. Okay? And God will spare His people from going through this affliction. And that's one thing to also remember throughout this plague. And that is what we have to bear in mind, you know, when we see these plagues unfolding. You put yourself in Moses' shoes. You put yourself in the position of Aaron. See what he's dealing with. See who he's speaking to. The most powerful person in the land, a person who would regard himself as God. The person that, in fact, the people would even regard as a God. Right? Pharaoh. This was who Moses was up against. This was who Moses was having this debate and this discussion. And that's why you must understand why it would seem intimidating at first. And yet at the same time, you see how Moses grew in faith. So what we want to learn this afternoon is growing in faith. But how did Moses grow in faith? How did the Lord help Moses to grow in faith? And that's where we also can learn then, today, how can we grow in faith? Even though we may not have a similar experience, you know, like this kind of plagues, but how can we continue to grow in faith? And one thing that you will see throughout this whole account, and so for us today, we are not just going to look at different portions, you know, for each point, but I will draw out various verses to show you for each point that I would like to make, that I believe the Bible describes for us. And the first thing that you see in how Moses grew in faith was his dependence on God's word, on what the Lord said, on what the Lord commanded him to do. And that's why you notice throughout this passage how the Bible emphasized what the Lord said, and how Moses also, when he spoke to Pharaoh, said, "Thus saith the Lord." That is the basis for his faith. That's the foundation of his faith. That is the only way he can grow more and more confident in faith. His confidence was in what the Lord said, not on his experience. You notice this in verse 1, immediately in chapter 8. The Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me." So this was what Moses was to say to Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord." You know, his mission was very simple in that sense. He just only had to say what the Lord commanded him to say. But he always had the word of God accompanying him. And you will notice this is very relevant and applicable even when there are rejections. Right? Even when Pharaoh rejected what Moses requested, it finally, after the whole account of the plagues of the frogs, right, when you go down to verse 15. So verse 15 is in the context where the plagues of the frogs were unleashed. Okay? And then Moses was, or rather Pharaoh was initially very afraid, and he asked Moses to plead for him that the frogs would disappear. And after Moses pleaded on behalf of Pharaoh unto the Lord, the frogs died. Then the Bible says, Pharaoh saw that there was respite. In verse 15, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them. And you notice, the Bible says, as the Lord had said. So the hardening of the heart was according to what the Lord had said. And you will notice this also in verse 19. When Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Bible says that this was the hardening of his heart as the Lord had said. Now, when you come down to verse 20, with the swarm of the flies, okay, here the Bible again says, thus saith the Lord. Right? When Moses was commanded to stand before Pharaoh, this was what Moses was to say before Pharaoh. Thus saith the Lord, let my people go. And this was what Moses had to say. Now the third time, regarding the hardening of the heart, this time the Bible did not say, as the Lord has said. Okay, it was only the first two times in chapter 8. In fact, if I'm more precise, right, this would be the second and the third plague. Okay, because the plague of the frogs would be the second plague. The plague of the lice would be the third plague. The first plague was the turning of the water into blood. Okay? So the fourth plague, when Pharaoh hardened his heart, the Lord did not repeat that statement that the Lord had said. Okay? But it's already understood. But with regard to the second and the third plague, the plague of the frogs, the plague of the lice with the hardening of the heart, the Lord told Moses, this is already what the Lord had said. And we immediately see this as the basis for Moses' faith. The basis for the strengthening of Moses' faith. He could depend on all that the Lord had said. And what the Lord had said comes true, comes to pass, is fulfilled. And Moses can grow in his faith as long as he surrenders to what the Lord has said. He submits to what the Lord has said. He holds on to all that the Lord has said, and he just acts upon all that the Lord has said. That is how Moses can be strengthened in his faith. The strengthening of Moses' faith is not in the show of miracles itself. I believe also the strengthening of Moses' faith was not dependent on Pharaoh's response. Now, the Bible does not record for us whether the Lord told Moses how many plagues would be unfolded or unleashed. We know that there are 10 plagues, including the death of the firstborn. If you would include that amongst the plagues, there will be 10 plagues in total. That's what we know. But for Moses, would he have known that? Would he have known how many times Pharaoh would reject, Pharaoh would oppose? We do not know whether he knew that. But he knew what the Lord had said. And that is how he was strengthened in his faith. And that was how he could grow in his faith. If we want to grow in faith, we need to see what the Lord says. Our strength of faith comes with what the Lord says. Now, the very frightening, I think, why some Christians struggle with this is because when we do anything, when we live our lives according to all that the Lord has said, it's actually very intimidating. We put ourselves in a very vulnerable position. When you submit to all that the Lord has said, it is surrender. It is yielding control. This is what the Lord wants me to say, I say. This is what the Lord wants me to do, I do. This is where the Lord wants me to go, I go. And we have to submit, we yield that surrender and that control. But that's the great struggle and the tension, isn't it? We want to have control. And we think that the more control of our lives we have, that will be the stability of our faith. And that's why there's that great struggle and that paradox, if you like, in our minds. You know, when the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We find it very hard to just take God at His word, to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, practically, what this would mean when you say seek God's kingdom first is, for example, if you are applying for a job, and then there are certain things that are non-negotiables. And then you say, because of your Christian conviction, you will not work on the Lord's Day. You also want to have time for prayer meeting. You want to have time for service. These to you are very important requirements in the job. But then when you put out all these things, you know, your applications, there will be fewer choices for you, and many will reject your applications. And so the temptation would be then, maybe is it okay if I just compromise some of these convictions, you know, compromise some of these requirements for the sake of getting a job. We want to be in control. But if we surrender control, we say, I still trust the Lord. Even though I apply, I still have not gotten the job. I still wait because I know that this is the right thing. I know that this is the right way. I will not compromise. You wait and you wait. You feel very vulnerable. What if you still have bills you have to pay? What if you still have your family to take care of? These things are very real. You know, then that's where the commands of God, the word of God, now becomes very real in our lives. They must be applied in reality. And the word of God, the truth of God's word, is not just a theory for us to memorize and to understand, but it's to be applied in our lives. And when it is applied in our lives, when it becomes reality, that's where the challenge lies. Will you still be able to say, I will not compromise, not just with regard to job. You know, it can be with regard to other things. You say, I will wait, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know in some circles, right, one of the struggles would be finding a life partner. Now you are getting older, but then you have certain convictions. You say, I cannot give up on these convictions, but because of these convictions, it's very hard to find a life partner. And you still say, I trust in the Lord. This is what the Lord has said. Do you know that you can only grow in faith if you keep trusting in the Lord, you keep waiting upon the Lord, and you see how the Lord unfolds His will in your life? If you rush and you decide to say, I want to intervene in my own life, I want to control my own life, you will lose that opportunity and that privilege and that blessing of seeing how God will unfold His will in your life. But it's very intimidating, it's very frightening. I know. It's similar to driving in some ways. I'm not sure whether every one of you like to drive, but there may be some who like to drive. And if you like to drive, or you are an experienced driver and you are a good driver, if you have someone else driving, you know you don't feel very safe all the time. Right? You sometimes may press the brake in your mind. Right? You imagine, then you swerve or you move the steering wheel in your mind when someone else is driving. Because that's the tendency. We like to be in control. We don't feel safe when someone else is in control. But now we are not talking about just another person. We are talking about God. God who is in control. And now God tells Moses, Moses, this is what you say. This is what you do. Follow me. One step at a time. I tell you to now go to Pharaoh and you say the plague of frogs. You notice Moses just did so. Right? Now the first time it was through Aaron. Because Aaron was the one in verse 6 who stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt. So this goes back to what the Lord had provided for Moses that we see earlier on. Okay, that Aaron would be the mouthpiece or the spokesperson of Moses. So Aaron was the one who stretched out. Now why the frogs first? First we had the water that was turned into blood. But why the frogs? Why not the lice first? Why not the most intimidating judgment or the most intimidating plague first? Why the frogs first? This is what God has ordained. This is the pattern. This is the order that God has chosen. I mean, some archaeologists say that the frogs could be chosen because the Egyptians have a deity that has the image of a frog. Okay? So some archaeologists have, you know, researched, and apparently they say that they found statues of Egyptian gods that have the image of a frog, and that could be related to why the frogs were chosen. You know, just like subsequently later on, the darkness could be related to the sun, because the Egyptians also have a god that's associated with the sun. But nevertheless, why the frogs first? God knows best the order. God sees the order. Moses was just to do what the Lord had commanded. There's a plague of frogs. And then Moses went. Now, with regard to the second plague that is in chapter 8, right, which will be the third plague in total, the plague of lice, the same thing. The Lord commanded Moses to stretch out his rod, and then the dust became this lice. Now, with regard to this plague of lice, as to what these insects were, okay, we cannot know exactly for sure. Some say that it's some kind of fleas. Okay? Some say that it's some kind of tick. Okay? But whatever the case is, this is a kind of insect that has a very painful or sharp sting that when they bite you, you know, it brings about itch. It's very uncomfortable. And then the Lord used this plague and unleashed it upon the Egyptians. Now, with regard to the plague of lice, this is where, in verse 19, you will see that the magicians were not able to duplicate or replicate the plague. Okay, with regard to the plague of the frogs, the Bible says in verse 7, okay, that the magicians were able to duplicate it. But for the plague of the lice, they were not able to duplicate it. So from the third plague onwards, the magicians will not be able to replicate the plagues anymore. And so even for chapter 8 verse 7, with regard to the plagues of the frogs, you know, what did it mean here when the Bible says that the magicians did so with their enchantment, whether it was an illusion or whether it was through demonic power? Now, we are not sure. It could be even through demonic power. They were able to somehow duplicate it or replicate it. Okay? But regardless, from the next plague onwards, they will not be able to duplicate it anymore. Okay? And it shows the limitation to their power. Now, one thing you also can notice with regard to the plague of the frogs is that even though the magicians were able to replicate it, they cannot undo it. Right? Because if not, Pharaoh would not have to ask Moses to entreat of the Lord to undo the plague. Right? Pharaoh could have just asked his magicians to undo the plague. But the magicians can replicate it, but they were unable to undo it. So it shows also the limitation to their power, even if it is demonic power, satanic power that duplicated this plague. But this was the progression. And then, verse 20, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. This was what Moses was to do, to say. Now, this would be the plague of the swarm of flies. Okay? Again, what exactly is this kind of insect? We are not completely sure. You know, but this swarm of flies, the Bible says, was that can destroy the land. You see that in verse 24. Okay, the land of Egypt, the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. The word corrupted there is actually to destroy. Okay? It could be through various diseases that these flies brought, okay, or a certain impact upon the land that these flies brought with it. But this was what Moses had to do and had to say. And this was what Moses did. And that was how he was strengthened in his faith. And that's where, you know, by the time you come to the plagues of the swarm of flies, you will notice that Moses was the one who spoke directly with Pharaoh. Hey, Aaron was now out of the picture. You know that because in verse 26, so even though verse 25 says, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Now the Bible says, Moses said, it is not meet to do so. Now and subsequently, you will see through the rest of the plagues that Aaron will fade out of the picture. Moses is the one who will now speak directly to Pharaoh. And this is the reason why we believe that he grew in his faith. Where initially he needed Aaron. And the Lord gently guided him and prepared him. But now, by this time, he was able to just speak directly unto Pharaoh. How? Because he had, thus saith the Lord. And that's how we must continue to grow in faith. To know what God says. To know that we have the word of God. To know that we have the will of God. And as long as we keep putting our faith in what God says, that is how we can grow in faith. As we surrender control, as we yield control unto the Lord, that's how we can grow in faith. Because the more we yield control unto the Lord, we see how God will unfold His will in very marvelous, mysterious, and at times even maybe miraculous ways for His own glory. We grow in faith when we know and when we take heed to thus saith the Lord. So the first thing that you can notice and observe throughout this whole account with regard to Moses and his faith is he has thus saith the Lord. Even with regard to the hardening of the heart, the Lord has said. And this was the basis of Moses' faith. Now the second thing that you can notice, so this, when we talk about how there's thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has said, this concerns the Lord's interaction with Moses. The Lord's communion with Moses. But the second thing that you also can see in this whole account is how Moses saw the Lord. Not only is there the Lord's interaction with Moses, thus in terms of thus saith the Lord, but you see how Moses recognize that it's the hand of the Lord. What did he want Pharaoh to see through the plagues? He wanted Pharaoh to see the Lord. That the Lord is God. Right now, when you look at, you can say that this is also how Moses would explain to Pharaoh with regard to why these things have unfolded. And he wanted Pharaoh to see the Lord. Now, when you look at verse 10, here the Bible says, and he said, tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now, this is Moses' response to Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh said, can you entreat of unto the Lord that this plague would disappear? Now, Moses responded, you go back to verse 9, he said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. Now, the expression here, glory over me, simply means you have honor above me. Okay, now, this is just a greeting, right? So, I believe that the expression here is because Moses was still talking to Pharaoh, and Moses recognized Pharaoh as king. Okay, so perhaps this also expresses that position that he saw in Pharaoh. Honor over me. That means you are more honorable than me. And so he says, when shall I entreat for thee? So when do you want this to be? When do you want the plague to be gone? Then he says, tomorrow. But Moses was very clear. He says, I will entreat this for you. Not because I fear you. Not because you are Pharaoh. Not because you are king. But it is so that you will know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Now this was what Moses was very conscious of. That he wanted Pharaoh to see. He wanted the people to see that this is the Lord our God. Now later on when you see the discussion that Moses had with Pharaoh concerning going out to the wilderness to sacrifice. Here, Pharaoh understood that Moses wanted to bring the people to sacrifice to the Lord, their God. Here you can go down to verse 27. Here the Bible says, "We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Of course, Pharaoh is going to go back on his word, right? Where he did not keep his word when the plague of flies or the swarm of flies was taken away. But what you see here was Moses was very conscious. Even when he talked to Pharaoh, "I want you to see that this is the power of the Lord my God. I'm going out to sacrifice to the Lord our God." How did he grow in faith? Moses knew who he was serving. Moses knew whose command he was obeying. Moses knew whose will he was doing. Moses knew whose authority he was carrying. It's the Lord our God. Now, why I emphasize this is because I do not want us to just look at the plagues. Here's the plagues are miracles. Right? When we explain the plagues, when you look at the plagues of the light, the Bible says it was from the dust. Right? That the dust became lice. So the lice somehow miraculously was transformed from the dust. We do not know how. Okay? But the Bible says the dust, they smote the dust of the earth and it became lice. It's a miracle. Very spectacular. Similarly, from the frogs, although it seems more natural because the frogs would just come out from the rivers, the seas. But we must see beyond just these spectacular things and recognize the hand that is behind it. You know, in fact, in Romans chapter 9, that is what Apostle Paul says. Right? If you just turn to Romans chapter 9, verse 15. And in Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. Okay, on verse 15 onwards, he says here, "And he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Now the purpose of Moses being raised is so that God will show his power through him, right, in thee, and that his name will be declared throughout all the earth. Of course, this would have also reference to the miracles. Either miracles were a declaration of God's power. But that's the problem. Sometimes people look at these miracles and they see the powerful miracles. But they do not see the power of God. The powerful God. And that's where we must not just see the powerful miracles, but we must see the powerful God. What is it that will strengthen our faith? To recognize, to see the hand of God, the powerful God who unfolded these miracles. You know, and that's why in the Bible, when it comes to miracles, we need to have a proper understanding of miracles. We need to have the proper understanding of the purpose of miracles. Even the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. God did not design these miracles to save. We understand this truth very clearly in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. Right? When the rich man was condemned in hell, the Bible tells us, "Can you send Lazarus to go to my brothers in order that they will not come to this place that I'm in this place of torment? Send Lazarus to bring the truth to my brothers." That was what the rich man wanted Lazarus to do. And then the response was that, Firstly, there's a gulf that is so wide, and at the same time, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not even believe if a person rises from the dead. The design of miracles, even that of the resurrection of a human being, is not designed to convince, to convict. That's the purpose of miracles must be clearly understood. Because sometimes people put so much emphasis on the miracles where they look at the powerful miracles. They look at how spectacular that thing is. But they do not see the powerful God, the one who works that miracles. And that's why even with regard to miracles, it's by faith. You realize that? It's not the miracles that will save. If a person does not have faith, even if he sees the miracles, he will not save. He will not be saved. And that's where faith still comes in. Now, it's just like some people say that if I see the Lord Jesus Christ appearing before me today, I will be saved. Right? There are some times when you preach the gospel. I've encountered this man once before where, you know, you share with him and then he does not believe and he says that if the Lord Jesus Christ appears before me today and he says that he's the Christ, he will believe. Now, if you do not believe, you will not believe even if that happens. Why? We know that because in the gospel, that was what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He appeared before them. He was with them. He walked among them. And they still did not believe. For us as believers, as Christians, what we need to learn to see is the Lord our God. That was what Moses also wanted Pharaoh to see. The Lord our God. There is none like unto him. It was not just about the plagues or just about the miracles. But the Lord our God. You cannot grow in faith if you do not commune with the Lord your God, if you do not know the Lord your God, if you do not know who is this Lord your God. I mean, you may know him, but you know him personally, intimately, where you enjoy that communion with him, you enjoy that fellowship with him. Is the Lord your God? Are you so conscious that the Lord your God is the God that you serve? Is the God that you live for? You grow in faith when you see the hand of the Lord your God in your life, in all things that will unfold in life. And that was why Moses was able to see beyond even the hardening of the heart. Right, as Pharaoh hardened his own heart, it was the Lord who hardened Pharaoh's heart. Moses is able to understand that. Now the last thing that we see with regard to growing in faith, not only is there a trust in what the Lord has said, not only is there a consciousness of the person of God, and that is through even the demonstration of God's power through the plagues. The way we grow in faith is now where we must obey and yield and surrender. Now, this comes in with verse 26. Here the Bible says, Moses said, "It is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? And will they not stone us?" So Moses said that we want to go and sacrifice to God, but Pharaoh asked them to sacrifice to God in the land, right? So in the land of Egypt. But Moses says we cannot do so because it will be an abomination. Right? And we have to go out into the wilderness 3 days to sacrifice. But you notice now here, this is what Moses said. Moses spake. And then when you go down to verse 29 again, the Bible says, Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee. I will entreat the Lord." And then after that, the Bible will say that Moses went out. But you notice here, now this is where Moses said, Moses spake. And this brings us back to the command that the Lord gave to Moses earlier. You go back to chapter 6 and then verse 29. In chapter 6, verse 29. The Bible says, "The Lord speak unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee." And then Moses said before the Lord, "Behold, I am of uncircumcised lips. How shall Pharaoh hearken unto me?" And then after that, in the beginning part of chapter 7, we see how the Lord then provided Aaron, Moses' brother, to be the one who will speak on behalf of Moses. But you notice in chapter 6, verse 29, the Bible says, "Speak thou unto Pharaoh." And so what we see here in chapter 8, verse 26, Moses said, okay, and then chapter 8, verse 29 also, Moses said. This is significant. Now, Aaron is no longer so much in the picture. Moses was able to speak. Now, I know that prior to that, the Bible does say that Moses also did say to Pharaoh. Hey, but we do also see that the Bible says it was Moses and Aaron that went out from Pharaoh. If you go back to chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says Moses said unto Pharaoh. But in verse 12, the Bible says Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. Whereas if you go down to verse 30, you notice the Bible only says Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. So even though the Bible says in verse 9 that Moses said, he was still accompanied with Aaron. Now, we do not know, okay, whether by the time we come to verse 30, Aaron was there or not. Okay, but that's not the point. The point now is that Moses was the one who said, Moses was the one who obeyed. Moses went out from Pharaoh. What happened to his fear? The question, I'm of uncircumcised lips, I cannot speak. What happened to those doubts? How is it that Moses is able to now speak and to go out from Pharaoh? This was how Moses grew in faith, and he was able to obey. When you obey, you will grow in your faith. And as you grow in your faith, you will be able to obey. We often speak of vicious cycles. A vicious cycle is where, you know, one thing that you do leads to something that is worse, and that it will just lead to something else that is worse, and then it goes on in this cycle. Like, for example, a vicious cycle of sin. Right? Sin brings about that dullness of the heart, because you will dull your own heart to the Spirit's prompting. You suppress the Spirit's warning, right, when you sin, and then you reject. And then because of that, just like Pharaoh, you harden the heart even more and more and more. That's like a vicious cycle. But there's also that virtuous cycle, that when you obey, you grow in faith, because you see how the Lord will unfold His will in His own marvelous way. As you yield control, yes, maybe you feel frightened and nervous at first, but then you see the Lord's provision, you see the Lord's blessing, and then you continue to grow in faith. And as you grow in faith, it gives you greater confidence to obey, because your confidence is not in self, your confidence is in the Lord. In fact, when you know God more and more, as you grow in your knowledge of God more and more, you grow in confidence. And as you grow in confidence, as you obey more and more, you will know God even more intimately. You will know God even more personally. And that's how you can keep growing in faith. What has happened to the fear? Has things changed? In fact, you see Pharaoh becoming even more and more hardened in his heart. It was not a case where things seemed to be getting better. Right? Pharaoh seemed to be getting more and more hardened in his heart. So why then did Moses grow in that confidence. It was because it was not a confidence in self. It was in knowing who God is. The strengthening of Moses' faith. Moses' faith, where he said, the Lord told Moses, go and speak unto Pharaoh. Initially, Moses said, I cannot speak. I'm of uncircumcised lips. The Lord provided Aaron. But now we see Moses said. Moses said. Such a simple thing. But also so challenging if you do not have faith. But when you obey in faith and speak as the Lord wants you to speak and do as the Lord wants you to do, when you surrender, isn't that a very wonderful opportunity for you to experience the blessings of that faith? What is the Lord's calling for you? What has the Lord commanded you to do? Have you been hesitating? Have you been reluctant? Have you been disobedient? And in your excuses that you have brought forth, have you lost this opportunity to see how the Lord can unfold His will through you? Would you say, I will speak, because you know the Lord has commanded, you know what the Lord has said? That is your foundation, that is your security, that is your assurance. The Lord has said, I just need to cling on to what the Lord has said. Who the Lord is, you know who the Lord is. The Lord your God, and the Lord who is with you. Do you see His hand in your life? And as you see Him working, unfolding His will, now speak and say what the Lord wants you to say. And then our faith, and this growing in faith, is actually very exciting. You know, when you read through the plagues, do not just merely look at the plagues themselves. Right? See also how the people responded. See also Moses' interaction with Pharaoh, and at the same time also his interaction with God. And then see, you know, how he grows in his faith. And when you see these things, is it not very exciting? You know, of course, for the Egyptians, it will be very frightening when you see judgment pouring out upon them. Yes, we do feel sad for them. But is it also not exciting to see how God works? And how God works for His children. Grow in faith. One of the most dangerous things for a Christian is to be stagnant in the faith. So you may be a mature person in terms of physical age, but if you have not been growing in faith, then you will not be able to experience the great blessings of how the Lord can unfold His will in your life. Now, when you see Moses here, he was already mature in physical age, but the Lord is now helping him to grow in his faith. And so it is also for us. We cannot just think about growing in our physical age, but grow in your faith in the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our loving and our merciful God, we thank Thee for how Thou deals with us so patiently and so lovingly. And O Lord, even as we reflect this afternoon upon a growing in our faith, when Thou calls us unto Thy work, unto Thy service, we know oftentimes there will be great challenges and there are great fears that we may face and may have in our hearts. But Father, teach us, grant us obedience, and that even through the obedience in faith, a faith that is based upon Thy word, a faith that is based upon who Thou art, we will grow in faith. As we grow in faith, how we can experience thy wonder working. Grant us patience, even at times when we may not immediately see how things will unfold, but grant us patience to wait upon thee, to know that thou art always in control. We want to thank thee again that this day we can worship thee in thy house, and we can meditate upon thy precious word. May thou continue to speak to us through thy word. Hear this our prayer. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.